any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Once upon a midnight. What are you talking about?
I got him.
He's going with all harmonic all the time now just to get on my nerves.
Just the curveball. Just keeping, you know. It's like MJ in the minor leagues. If I just threw you fastballs all the time, you decent hitter. Give him a curveball, no shot.
Mm-hmm. We are 57 days away from the start of the NBA season. That's official.
Wow.
It's a lock. Stone cold lock.
Yep. According to Simon Eli of CBS 42, at least five University of Alabama football players have tested positive for COVID after a group workout of about 50 players. They were tested Tuesday, practiced together Wednesday, and received the test results today. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It seems like we're starting to collect them pretty fast.
Get it now.
What? Yeah. Yeah. Take care of yourself now before we start practicing and sweating over each other.
No, I'm not being tongue-in-cheek.
I know.
You get it once, you got it.
But here's the problem. So far, a handful of schools, it was Marshall, was it Oklahoma or Oklahoma State? Or
some State.
State had like up Oklahoma to five.
State, yeah.
You're getting and the only reason you're catching these is because they're asymptomatic, because people didn't know they had it. But yeah. Because they're coming in and everybody's getting tested, they're catching it. That's good. But what about the rest of the student body population once everybody starts mixing in the fall? I want to get rolling and then shut everything down again.
And again, the SEC has allowed teams to start voluntary workouts on June 8th, but the large group of players gathered on their own. And concerning, it's hard to know which players were there each day. You know what I'm saying? Because it's...
But this is where you can go in, and the argument for having the student athletes on campus is, we've got them here, they're in our bubble, we now know who they've come into contact with while working out at our facilities. Yeah. We know that if we're doing all the things we need to do, and I'll use the Alabama example right now, cleaning off the surface area after working out, after each player's working out, all of those sorts of things. This is where you can go back, trace it, go test those kids that were in close proximity with the five who tested positive. Now you got more tests. You give those tests to the kids, and you figure out, okay, is this thing spread or did it not spread?
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, Florio just pointed this out, or Darren Gant just pointed this out, too, that concerning, since the off-the-books nature of the workout makes it hard to know which players were there each day or whether groups of players were there after the testing
around
the guys who would eventually test positive. So
can I point out something just a minute? Are you watching Jalen Rose's show and Snoop Dogg?
Yeah.
That's Snoop Dogg at his house. And
it's like a planetarium.
That is one hell of a room. It is. It's got purple. It's like a universe behind with stars. And I don't know if that's like Milky Way floating above him, or that's supposed to symbolize weed smoke.
It looks like the Aurora Borealis or something like
it's
that.
It's all,
you know,
lighting and special effects. And it's just,
I see the Milky Way. I see the Big Dipper over his left shoulder. He's got a Grambling State jersey on.
And wearing nice, shades cool in a very dark room, I might add.
Well, it's probably a lot of light. Look at the camera. Look at the lights reflecting off his sunglasses.
He always wears sunglasses.
I know,
always?
But I'm looking at the
Snoop.
You can see the lights reflecting off his glasses.
I've seen Snoop without sunglasses before.
Oh, many times. Yeah, it's like a planetarium in the background.
Yeah, I mean, that's a phenomenal room.
That's Snoop. Pretty cool.
You think that's his smoking room?
I think that's what... No, I don't think he has one smoking
room. Well, he's got a wife and kids. I wonder if he just kind of, you know, hung out in one area.
Craig?
Or the whole house?
Yes.
The whole house
is a smoking
room?
I don't
think
he has one smoking area.
Do you think his kids have
what?
Weed?
Test? I don't know. How old are his kids? I don't know.
I don't know. Secondhand smoke in the house?
You can't get marijuana through secondhand smoke.
Well, it's, okay. I'm going to fact check
you can get the smoke from it, but you can't get the THC from it.
Is that true?
Yes, that's science.
Is it?
Yes.
I'm going to need a second opinion before I go out from our texters at 239-337-ESPN.
Just give it 20 seconds.
Say that again. So what did he just say? I was reading a tweet. Sometimes I block it out. What did he say?
Can you get high from secondhand weed?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So when you inhale this smoke, it all just the what is it, THC?
That's the stuff that gets you loopy.
It stays in you, in your lungs, and the smoke is just pure smoke coming out.
Just
then
goes
why
out,
do I
yeah.
smell it? Why do I smell it when others are...
Because there's an aroma that's put off from it. There's a smell that gets put off from it.
Well, you smell cigar smoke, too, and different cigars have different aromas.
That doesn't mean you're smoking, right? You can get secondhand smoke, which I've said.
Yes.
Which I said you could get that from it, being around it.
Right.
But it's not like you, like, if you're next to somebody who's smoking weed, like, you're going to get high because they're
really?
Smoking weed.
I don't think that's true.
No, that is true.
I think if you're at a concert...
I'm not sure. I plead ignorance.
I think you can get it. Yeah. 239.
All right,
says
now this might
called,
be a stupid.
No, 239. Hold on. 239 says it's called contact high. Yes, you can get secondhand high.
I've been contacted around a lot of high people. I've never gotten high off of being around
you
them.
You don't know.
Well, let's look
I do
it up.
Know. Yes, I do. Contact high. Yeah, thank
who
you, Oreo.
That song?
Your body filters the THC. Exactly.
Swinging Blind says false. 100%. You can.
He's
you can
blind.
Get high.
He's blind. You can't listen
That's
to that person.
That's just his name, Swinging Blind. Bleeding Ear says, my dog sleeps great when I smoke. Great. Give your dog secondhand smoke.
It's about 50-50 on the text line. Delivery Man says Chris is right.
6'3". I was at a
yes,
Willie Nelson concert.
Yes, experiments have confirmed cases where secondhand exposure to marijuana smoke produces blood serum levels equivalent to or greater than levels which are associated with impairment. You can get a contact high from secondhand marijuana smoke.
Fact. Thank you.
It's got to be a lot.
That's why, okay, back to Snoop Dogg and his Grambling State University shirt here. He's on with Jalen Jacoby, and I don't know if he smokes in the house.
I'm not talking about hotboxing a car, guys. I was just talking about normal amount of smoke.
Whoa. What did you just say?
Hotboxing a car.
Never heard that
it's
phrase in my life.
It's where a group of friends or just people are in a car.
Yeah.
They keep all the windows up.
Like Cheech and Chong.
They smoke their blunt joint or whatever they're smoking, and then
like Fast Times at Ridgemont High when they
the
fall
smoke
out of the van.
Stays in the car.
Yeah.
It's called hotboxing.
Yeah.
There's a name for
there's
that?
There's a name for that, yeah. There's a name
remember
for everything.
Remember Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Craig, when Spicoli falls out of the van with all his chums?
Yeah, but they stole, they stole that from Cheech and Chong's when they came rolling out of the van. But yeah, I'm very familiar.
Well, no, I think a lot of people were doing it. I don't know if they stole it. But
well, I mean, the scene was pretty close.
Yeah, look.
It does cause side effects if you're wrong.
I got drug tested throughout high school.
Why?
Because my mom didn't want me smoking marijuana.
So who ordered the drug test?
She did.
At school?
Now, wait a second.
No,
this is interesting.
I got drug tested throughout high school, so I never smoked weed in high school.
I don't think I've ever been drug tested in my life.
Wow.
I just peed
you get
in
drug
a cup.
Tested
in
it. Yeah. By your parents, you got drug tested?
My mom, yeah. She didn't want me smoking weed in high school. So
the first time I ever heard of that was in that movie American Beauty, which is a great movie, by the way, with Kevin Spacey and with the high school teacher. I don't know if you ever saw it. It won Academy Awards. But yeah, one of the guy's fathers would drug test his son every week, and he had a separate refrigerator hidden with fake urine in it, so he could just give it to his dad.
But you got
to
give him warm urine, or else they know. You need the Wizinator that the Minnesota Vikings were using back in the day.
Yeah. So anyway, I didn't smoke in high school, never failed a drug test. You know, I would have been taken off of sports and everything, and I didn't want to have that happen. But a lot of my friends would smoke, and I'd hang out with them when they were smoking. I never tested positive. So maybe if you have a boatload of smoke in the air and you inhale it for hours on end, maybe. But I never tested positive in my experience.
We're going with your anecdotal
We're talking about poorly ventilated areas. I mean, like a car with the windows rolled up, as you said, small bedroom without a fan.
Right.
That's where you'd have to
try.
I'm
more amazed
outside.
That you were drug tested every week by your mom.
Every week.
Oh, no.
It was about two or three times a year.
But
she'd just come home from work. She'd put the cup.
Is that what deterred you, or because you wanted to remain eligible for sports?
So you'd pee in the cup, and then what happened? She'd take it to some lab?
Yeah. No. I mean, you pee in the cup, and it's got the lines right there on the side of the cup.
Yeah.
And it gives you what you test. I mean, it tested for what?
Oh.
Oh, it gives you a result based on a color or something
like
that?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like a pregnancy test.
Really?
Yeah. Like a pregnancy test.
No.
Is it
kidding.
Strictly just for marijuana?
You just opened my eyes to something I have no idea even existed out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a pregnancy test in the sense that you pee on a stick and then it just absorbs it. It was an actual cup. You peed into it. And then it gave you back, like, one line was negative, two lines was positive, or maybe it was vice versa.
Strictly for marijuana, though, nothing else.
There were a couple of other drugs in there. I don't remember what they were.
Coke or
Yeah, I don't know what they were. But
are you sure you never tested positive for being pregnant?
I'm positive. For being pregnant. Yeah, for being pregnant. Yeah.
You know what you just said? You just Michael Jordan'd your friends. Yeah, I got the whole cocaine circus I'm around, but I'm clean. But they were all smoking weed in the car.
I don't even want to say friends. More like
it's
acquaintances.
More of a marijuana menagerie instead of a cocaine circus.
More acquaintances than anything. Exactly.
Huh, I'm fascinated by this. This is the most fascinating thing we've discussed all day.
Stepbrother,
we've had a lot of good stuff today.
Yeah. Stepbrother, let's just call Craig's ridiculous statements white it out. He makes Casper look tan.
True. True. I don't think my statements have been.
Donnie says, my parents told me if I wanted to try anything to let them know, and we do it in the backyard, I can have my friend or something. Anyway.
It's good parenting right there.
Wow.
I had a few of those friends.
You get drug tested at CVS for the test for everything.
Okay. Yeah.
No
Very
kidding.
Common.
Yo, wait a minute. I can roll into CVS right now or Walgreens or whatever your choice is.
A marijuana
and I can say, where's the marijuana test kit?
I don't know if it's just a weed test kit. I don't know if it's, but yeah, there are drug tests there.
Really?
To purchase.
Suddenly I'm in the mood for brownies. And Doritos.
239, can I get a contact high if you eat weed brownies and then fart? That's funny.
Maybe.
That's funny.
Maybe.
Wow.
Our Twitter, Twin Peaks Twitter poll is out on our text.
Oh, Chris added something. Yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah, what do you keep your thermostat at? We got 70 votes so far. It's only been on a few minutes. 72, 73, 74, 75 so far. 52.9% say they keep it at 72. I'm in the 73 guy. I'm at 12.9%, 74, 15.7%, and 75, 18.6%.
Ours is at 74, but I'll manually hit 73 right before I go to bed just to cool it off a notch.
Yeah, just take the humidity out of the air, right?
Yeah.
I swear to God, I've adapted. My body has adapted like an X-Men. I can tell when it's at 72, 73, 74, 75. I guarantee if you gave me 5 minutes in an area, in my own home, I can tell exactly where it's at.
I believe it. I have those same spidey senses. I can walk into a house and I can know if there's a cat in the building without seeing it.
It's called an allergy.
Well, you're allergic to them.
Yeah, very, very.
It's not a spidey sense. That's an allergy.
I like it. It's a superhero. I mean,
Allegra could take away your spidey senses like that.
Not necessarily with
Does
cats.
Does Allegra not work?
I have a hard time with cats. Yeah, I don't like cats. That's why I'm a dog person. So, very, very interesting. All right, so actually the big news of the day was Drew Brees yesterday saying he will never agree with disrespecting the flag, told everybody what the flag meant to him. He has said this for years. But this time it didn't fly. It bounced off the wall. Teammates very upset with him. Malcolm Jenkins in particular. Other players like Ed Reed, other sports
Mike
stars.
Thomas was, and a lot of other people
LeBron James
accepted his apology.
Yeah, a lot. So he finally issues an apology. Pete, do you still have that up from earlier? We have not broken. It was a hell of an apology. But in this day and age, some people still don't want to accept an apology. Others did. I like what Mike Thomas said. He said, we're cool. I don't know what Malcolm Jenkins' reaction is going to be to this. Didn't sound like he was in a forgiving mood.
Yeah.
What do we have? You want to read
this? This is this morning, around 8:30. And I knew he was probably going to do it. And it's great that he did it as early as he did. Via Instagram. I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates, the city of New Orleans, the black community, NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. In speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know the pain I caused in an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem. I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become diverse and hurtful and have misled people into believing that somehow I am an enemy. This could not be further from the truth and is not an accurate reflection of my heart or my character. This is where I stand. I stand with the black community and in the fight against systemic racial injustice and police brutality and support the creation of real policy change that will make a difference. I condemn the years of oppression that have taken place. throughout our black communities and still exists today. I acknowledge that as we, as Americans, including myself, have not done enough to fight for that equality or to truly understand the struggles and plight of the black community. I recognize that I am part of the solution and can be a leader for the black community in this movement. I will never know what it's like to be a black man or raise black children in America, but I will work every day to put myself in those shoes and fight for what is right. I have always been an ally, never an enemy. I am sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday, but I take full responsibility and accountability. I recognize that I should do less talking and more listening. And when the black community is talking about their pain, we all need to listen. For that, I am very sorry, and I ask your forgiveness.
I thought that was a hell of an apology. I mean, it might be an all-timer. Mm-hmm. It might be the number one public apology of all time. There were people that said it was too polished from his PR people and wasn't, you know, they're not going to change your mind. There were others that said, how about that comment where he said, well, I'm sick how my comments were perceived is not the same as saying my comments were wrong. Even though, I mean, come on, read the whole statement. I'm glad that Mike Thomas has accepted it and moved on.
And Demario Davis as well, yes. Linebacker's done this too.
I would hope that everybody would. Look, I said this earlier. If we're going to have awkward conversations and tough conversations, then I think you have to be able to accept an apology as you try to teach each other your point of view. If you do, if we're not apologizing, then we're not meeting. I mean, if you're not accepting an apology, you're not meeting a middle ground. And then we'll never come together. If you don't accept an apology that was sincere and heartfelt, if you believe that was, then there's no way the two sides come together. We always remain separated. And the heck with that guy and that comment, and the heck with this, and I feel this way, and he feels that. And then we never come together.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, Tony Dungy, with the best quote of the day, says, Drew Brees cannot be afraid to say that. And we can't be afraid to also say, oh, I disagree with that. Let's talk. With actual words of Drew Brees, there's very little wrong with it. The timing is bad. Mm-hmm. And maybe, as you mentioned, he should have mentioned George Floyd somewhere in there.
Yep.
But that's not what he was thinking, and that's not what the question was coming from Yahoo Business or whatever the hell. I never even heard of Yahoo Business until yesterday.
Oh, yeah. But again, it doesn't take away from the fact that it came off as – and I understand why people are a little upset. I don't think he meant it to be malicious or anything like that. But it came off insensitive. I get it. I totally understand it. And I think people, most intelligent people out there, rational. We had a lot of great callers today in Texas. I think they understand it was just bad timing. It was insensitive, and it's. I think he's done his best to correct it. I still think, you know, the greater message is what about everybody being committed to, equality and justice for everybody, and I'm still not sure that's ever going to be. I think it's, and I do think the younger people are getting it's better. It's much better than when we were younger, and the generation before us. And I still think, as I've said earlier, no offense, but I've heard too many conversations all over the country in my lifetime of a lot of fuddy-duddies that are never going to change their opinion. Never. Never, never, never.
No.
And a lot of these same people preach Jesus and whatever God you believe in and church-going folks and religious and everything else, and then you hear the N-word come out of their mouth or you hear something about Jews or this, that, or other group, and it cracks me up. And when I hear it, I don't hear it often, and I haven't heard it in a long time, I'll be honest with you. But when I have called people out on it right away.
Let me be a fly on that wall. What'd you say?
A couple years ago, I was in, I don't know where it's going. It might have been Connecticut. Somebody mentioned the N-word to me. Somebody said something in passing about, something about, and he must have been 70 years old, a short little troll of a guy, and just said, the N's a blah, blah, blah. I go, really? I go, well, you know, and I said, well, my father would love to talk to you because my father's African-American. And, of course, I lied. He's not. But I wanted to see the expression on his face.
Right, right, right.
That was the last word I heard out of him all day. And I said, should we have a conversation about it?
Yeah.
And I go, what exactly do you mean? And he put up, you know, he thought I was going to kill him, first of all.
What? He was in your foursome?
I just shook my head. I said, you're an arrogant SOB. I mean, you're just an arrogant, you know, ignorant person.
Yeah. This was in your foursome?
In my foursome,
What hole was this? This was...
It was like the third hole.
Oh, so he had a very uncomfortable day. Good.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And another friend of mine really... let him have it on every hole. I kept my mouth shut after that because I figured he'd had enough, and I wanted to concentrate on, you know, breaking 100 back then. And but yeah, it was, he was very uncomfortable. I've never heard. Obviously, it was kind of a random thing, but I never heard from him again.
Yeah.
Nor would I. I wouldn't have asked for his, you know.
Right.
But you hear conversations. I hear conversations in Publix. I hear conversations, you know, on the beach sometimes about, people don't even realize it. And I'm sorry, it's a lot of the older people. They're 60 plus. And I know there are people of all ages that have these type of thoughts, but they don't get it. They still don't understand that, you know, it's only by the grace of God you were born with the color of your skin. You know, and I can't speak to living in a black man's shoes. I don't know what it's like. I can only provide a form and to just talk about it.
Yeah.
But some of these people that, you know, preach Jesus all the time, and they're the first ones that utter these racist slurs. Mm-hmm. It amazes me. Unbelievable. It amazes me the number of people who claim to be God-fearing people, and they're the most racist people on the planet. And that's a fact. I don't care what anybody says. I've seen too much of it. It is a fact. I'm so tired of that. That's the stuff that really cracks me up. I go to church every day. I go to church every Sunday. And then you try to have a conversation with them about exactly what's going on today, and they can't do it because they are so prejudiced. And I'm like, didn't you just go to church and, you know, talk about Jesus and equality or whatever? You went to temple and whatever God you may believe in, you know, pretty much all of them say we're all created equal.
Well,
there's so many cowards out there. And, you know, I sort of, if they did exist, and luckily I don't think I have anybody in my life that thinks that way, I would just disassociate myself with it.
You know what? The joke is going to be on them in the end, Pete, because I'm pretty familiar with where Jesus came from, and I don't think people are white over there.
And so they're going to come to the pearly gates.
Well,
and when they realize Jesus isn't white, they're going to have some splaining to do.
Well, I don't know if a lot of people still don't understand this, but Jesus was also Jewish, you know?
Yeah, right, right.
Yep.
All right. Hard segue here. We're giving away a brand new 3-burner Weber grill for Father's Day this year. All you have to do is submit your favorite photo of you and your dad to 993ESPN.com. And on Father's Day, we'll tally up all the votes for your favorite one, favorite photo, and the one with the most votes. Boom. New grill for dad for Father's Day. Do whatever you have to do. Tell your friends. Vote multiple times. Give them our website, 993ESPN.com. Don't forget Wikipedia around the corner. Good topic today. It's going to be 20 MoBucks on the line. I'll give you the details in just a minute. Sheeman and Shepherd on 993 ESPN and the 993 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Going hardcore there.
With, more harmonica. Like a texter said, play the long way home, the long version.
No.
That's a great harmonica intro.
I got it.
No, don't do that to me.
Again, Pete, it's not about throwing him curveballs every time. You keep him on his heels. He doesn't know what's coming next. I'll throw an Ephus pitch in there and really get him to look like a fool.
I like to pour it on.
What would be an Ephus pitch on bumper music? Like Barry Manilow out of the blue or what?
I pretend I'm up 40 to nothing in football and I just running up the score on Craig. Just
running reverse passes.
Hey, be careful. The Howard UNLV game. Yeah, they could come back on you.
Yeah. I think the best Ephus pitch I ever threw in terms of rejoiner was the Mumford & Sons when you gave Mumford & Sons a yee-haw.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look foolish.
That gets me every time.
No. That and the and Red Hot Chili Peppers when you gave a yee-haw. Yeah.
No. Was there a yee-haw for it? Because Red Hot Chili Peppers, every time Chris plays it, I like it.
No, but there was one song I think he played from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Not out of the question, yeah.
Not Under the Bridge, the other one that you play sometimes. Yeah. But.
So to lighten things up just a little bit here today, it is both, I'm confused, it's both National Cognac Day and National Moonshine Day. Those are two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Expensive cognac can cost you a lot. That's a dumb statement by me. Expensive cognac can cost you a lot, yes.
Yeah.
Cognac on the whole is very expensive, is how I should have phrased it.
Now,
moonshine is, that is such a talent to make. I would love to watch the process sometime because that will knock you on your butt.
I have some family members that are quite good at it. It's like Kool-Aid.
Really?
It, you would think you were drinking Kool-Aid. Whatever flavor you want.
I've seen,
good.
You know, my Italian, I have relatives that made wine. My brother-in-law has made homemade beer. But it is a talent to make. It's a talent to make wine. It's also a great talent to make any type. If you do it at home, I'm talking about, and you can make your own cognac and bourbon and moonshine. Wow.
Yeah. Now, I haven't had, I've never had tried cognac. What is that like a,
Cognac is like, it's usually something you take after dinner, you're having a cigar.
In a big round.
It's a brandy. It's like a, cognac's glass. Another form. It's another form of a brandy.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite, or do you shy away from it?
I don't particularly care for it, yeah. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's not my, scotch and cognacs and brandies are not my, I just don't care for the taste.
Too rich for you? Too bitter?
I don't know. It's too alcohol. I don't know. It's too, I never really cared for it. I was never a scotch guy. I told you, except for that one time, the $85, it was a shot, but it wasn't a shot because you couldn't shoot it down, but that right. was as smooth as it gets. Yeah. You know, I would probably have try a real expensive brandy having a cigar. Yeah, I could probably live with that.
Yeah.
It's smooth.
Chris, you ever done had cognac? Is that a thing of yours?
No.
Yeah, I've had, no.
I've never had cognac. I've had moonshine.
Yeah, I've had moonshine.
Like
I have too.
Like real stuff.
Wow. Yeah.
Not the stuff you buy at the store.
No, real.
That's
no.
syrup.
Like I think you were on the phone. I got family members that are quite good at it. In fact,
yeah,
it
you've
runs
told me.
In my family.
You've told me.
Yeah.
Mostly, it's like 151, like isn't it?
What's that?
It can be like 151
proof.
Like,
proof?
Yeah,
in that neighborhood.
Can be.
But it fools you because you think you're drinking Kool-Aid, and then boom, you're putting 150 proof in it, and you can get wobbly real fast.
Yeah.
Well, especially if you put a little lemonade in it or something, just a drop, something that makes it flavorful or even, you know, orange diet. I don't know, something. You mix a couple of shots of moonshine with anything. Anything fruity, you can be nighty night.
No, there's only one vessel. I mean, moonshine, it's so strong that you don't need to pour it in separate cups for everybody. We're taking pulls right off of the mason jar.
Oh, yeah.
Even in coronavirus era?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? If coronavirus can live through moonshine, we don't have a shot. We don't have a prayer. I mean, herd immunity at this, if it can survive moonshine, we got bigger problems here.
By the way, I heard some bad news about coronavirus the
other
day.
It's like super coronavirus at that point. Yeah.
I heard that Dr. Fauci 2 days ago said, well, he thinks once these vaccines are done, they're going to be short-term vaccines. Like the flu. Oh. You got to get a flu shot every year. But you don't know we can't make a coronavirus vaccine every year because we don't know what strand is. Anyway, it won't last a year. Mm. Where does that put us then?
Well, I think Fauci is just a little upset that he's not in the news anymore.
He's not in the news.
Who? Who is Anthony Fauci? We've got no. Who is that guy?
Our immune system. It's going to be a Jeopardy question in 10 years.
Honestly. You know, I can't wait till we don't ever see him again, frankly.
Ever.
That means we won't have a thing going on. What are you eating over there, Chris? That looks good.
It's called a Take Five.
What's a Take Five?
It's a pretzel. Covered in caramel, peanut butter, peanuts, and chocolate over the top of it.
Where
really?
Did you get that?
From the vending machine.
Oh, they reloaded the vending machine.
Whoa, you said you wouldn't give money to the vending machine.
You would never go to this vending machine ever again.
I had a low point. I don't know what to
tell you. You're hungry, low point, low sugar?
I'm hungry, yeah. Because I'm trying to do the, and I know I get on this
your 3-day
every
kick.
So often. I know.
What are
broken
you on
record.
What are you on now?
I'm trying to not do breakfast. Right, I'm just trying to.
So you're doing a fasting,
but it's not intermediate fasting because if I want to have like I made croissants, the little pastries for the kids for breakfast the other day.
Right.
I had one.
Yeah,
I'm not going to make a whole thing of croissants and not have a croissant. That's ridiculous.
Right.
So last night we had pizza. So I brought a couple slices in for my lunch today.
Yeah.
Well, I got hungry about 10:15.
Right, you ate that. You ate early.
So I ate early.
So now you're starving.
So now I'm hungry, and I got dinner at home waiting for me. But that's like 2 hours away from me getting home.
Why in the morning? You don't have to eat that. Why don't you just get some blueberry and raspberries? Even put just a little bit of yogurt on it, and just have that something.
Something. The whole point of the fasting thing is you're supposed to force your body to eat itself. And as soon as you give it sugar, even good sugar, As soon as you give it anything to start digesting,
yeah.
it then starts digesting that instead of eating away at my fat gut.
Oh, yeah.
But also not eating slows down your metabolism. I'm sorry. That's not
Pete, a, look a, up, a, no,
there's
no.
a lot of people that are doing intermittent fasting, not regular fasting.
Yeah, intermittent fasting is a
condense
massive
your meals
thing right now.
Throughout your 24-hour
and the whole idea on it is back in the day, and when I say back in the day, I'm talking caveman. I'm talking long time ago.
Yeah.
They didn't wake up and have eggs for breakfast. No, they were real men. They had to go
out
with their spears and their bows and their arrows, and they had to kill something.
Yeah.
And they didn't get to eat until lunch.
Oh.
And that's the way it was. So I'm really I'm channeling my inner caveman.
Yeah, you are. You are. I also heard it was healthier to go to sleep two times a day instead of the one time we do at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Like a 12-hour
so
cycle.
So 2 8-hour
I'm all for that.
No,
sweeps.
Well,
2 4-hour naps.
I think it's more like 2 4 to 5.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, that's how their body's naturally supposed to go. I just happened by chance to call Pete Shepard. What was that, 4 or 5 in the morning this morning?
No, it was at 7:30.
You're already doing bacon like at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I had one piece. I had a piece of bacon that a very expensive piece of bacon that I cut into, and I was making.
So it was thick cut. Was it maple cut? What do we had going?
It was it was thick. And it was like
maple's not a cut.
Pepper. It was over not maple. It was
pepper jack.
Applewood.
Apple.
No,
oh,
that was an apple. It was more pepper flavor. It wasn't applewood.
Ooh,
it wasn't
bacon.
Apple. Maple. It was a pepper bacon type
pepper,
thing.
Pepper bacon. You know where they got
yeah.
really good pepper bacon?
What?
Twin Peaks on the oh, Hunter's
God,
board.
The charcuterie
yeah.
board. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Oh, the no, they got the candied bacon.
They've got the candy
the
bacon
board.
Too. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yo, that's that charcuterie board there they have is just off the chart. I'm sorry.
Eight
off
drinks
the
and scenic
chart.
Views.
Good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so Chris, yeah, Pete and I talk once in a while. It's you know, we show prep, man. Got to put a show together.
Yeah.
Pete, the listener thinks we just roll in here at 2. No. We're putting this together when the sun comes up,
well,
man.
Well, I text you. I said, call me. We were talking about you know what was going on with Drew Brees and blah, blah, blah. And I wanted to make sure you saw the Florida State stuff and that I tweeted and everything else and
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. It was rare for
some
me to be up that early.
But I was
careful. Rare to be up at 7:30?
Oh, yes. Very rare.
I'm up at 6:20 every day, just about.
I was cooking. What was I doing at 7:30? I was cooking the boys' egg in the hole.
What's egg oh, in
love
the
that.
Hole?
Oh, come on, Craig. You take a piece of bread.
Yeah.
Take a shot glass, right? And just a regular piece of Wonder Bread for you.
Yeah.
Take a shot glass right in the middle. Take out and save the little
hole
piece
in the middle.
Uh-huh.
In the middle.
Uh-huh.
And you put you put some butter in the pan, put the toast, put the bread in the pan. Let it crisp up a little bit, then drop the egg in and in a little hole.
Crack
and
an egg in the hole.
Nicely.
Really?
Crack an egg in the hole.
And then you
never
have
heard of this in my life.
They serve it like
it's
a Cracker Barrel.
Oh, it's nice.
It's called Birds in the Basket, I think is what they call
really?
It, a Cracker Barrel. Yeah.
Oh, how quaint. Never heard of it before.
Oh, it's a
never seen it.
It's a great breakfast. It's a great breakfast. I mean, you get the egg yolk running all over the toast, which is a nice, nice combination. Really is.
But you got to make sure you save the hole, or not the hole, the piece of, and you crisp that up, and it's just delicious.
I used to do softball eggs over toast when I was a kid.
What's a softball egg?
Love that,
egg?
Too.
Soft boiled.
Oh.
Still a little runny.
Yeah,
but
that's
cooked
the,
enough not to get salmonella.
We got a second. Like on a Cobb salad, cool. right? When it's hard boiled, I have no use for that. That yellow is one of the most disgusting things I think
because it's yellowish green kind of.
No, it's just
dry on your tongue.
It's the texture of it. It's the way that it crumbles.
But you like deviled eggs, right?
Love deviled eggs.
You wouldn't eat it crumbled in like a potato salad even?
Because
now you're covering up the texture.
If that yellow is covered enough, then maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But just that yellow, like in a like a Cobb salad, or hey, I got some hard boiled eggs over there. You want one?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
What do you do on Easter? You don't eat a hard boiled egg on Easter?
No, I eat a soft boiled egg.
Yeah.
Oh, my kid asked me something today. 4-year old.
Easter bunny or Santa related?
No, egg related.
Oh. And
where does an egg come from?
Uh oh.
I said, well,
chicken or the egg?
Comes from a chicken.
Yeah.
And he said, where does the chicken come from? I said, the egg. And it never got to the chicken and egg part. I was more concerned with, so what is the egg?
Right.
I would have had a tough time saying, well, that's the baby.
Well, as the
that would be tough.
As Frank Costanza at dinner one time with George's fiance's parents, and they started talking about the chicken and the egg, and
who's having sex with the
father,
hen.
The rooster, the hen, and the rooster, and something else. And that's perverse because they're asking, who has sex with the chicken,
right? Very common.
That'll be the next thing, Chris, you get.
I can't wait for that one.
Where do babies come? And I know what your answer's going to be. Go ask your mother.
Yep. No, I'll have the conversation when the time is right. Four is not right.
When a female chicken and a male hen love each other, that's how this conversation's going to start.
I remember I threw that line at my mother. I was very young, 6 or 7 years old.
What?
Where did I come from?
Right.
The story.
And she explained to me. She's like, it's a very powerful muscle. But now, I was born C-section, which is why I leave the house with the window every day.
Because you have a big head.
But did you get that? That's an old Stephen Wright joke. Did
you
get that joke?
You know what? I was on about 4 second delay. Sorry. I did get it. That is funny. Big fan of Stephen Wright.
Yeah. But I said flat out. And I was like, how do you fit out of that? And she's like, it's a strong muscle. I was like, okay. Then I kind of never thought about it. Then I didn't understand what
that
C-section
was. That was your sex ed talk right there?
Oh no! My parents never sat down and talked to me about sex. I pretty much knew what was going on by the time I was nine. Anyway,
what?
And then we had in fifth grade. I remember we had fifth grade. I'll never forget this. They split the class up, girls and boys.
Mm-hmm.
The girls were on the other side. Mrs. Condi, she read them over 2 days. Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret, which is about a girl getting her first period. And we got read by Judy Blume. Then again, maybe I won't, which is about a guy experiencing nocturnal emissions. Blah, blah.
Oh, God.
And that was our sex education there. And then we got then after they read the books, then we got to ask anything we wanted.
No.
And terminology and everything else.
And you're not one to be quiet, so what'd you ask?
I knew what F-word meant. I knew what other stuff meant. I was amazed at some other kids, what they thought it meant. But but no, they went through slang terms and everything else and why you shouldn't say this and why you should be respectful and not say that and blah, 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 blah.
I thought you went to an all-boys school.
Yeah, really?
No,
I thought you went to an all-boys school.
I went to high school all-boy by my own choice. This was in fifth grade.
Oh.
No. I went to Catholic school, high school by my own choice. My sister didn't, but everything else was all public.
Hmm.
So that was it. My parents I never got to talk. Hmm. My parents never said to me, this is a... My dad asked me something once. I was like 10 years old. I'm like, yeah, this goes,
Okay.
I knew where everything went and why.
We're good. We're good.
Yeah.
Time to play Wikipedia.
It was the most awkward 15 to 35 minutes I've ever had with my dad.
Oh,
that
really?
Conversation. Hated every minute
minutes?
Of it.
35 minutes to explain it?
It felt like 35 minutes. It felt like 35 years. La, 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 la.
35 minutes for something that takes you 30 seconds. I just don't get it.
Flow chart? Did you have
it's
like playing Pictionary. Hey, ooh.
All right, let's play Wikipedia.
Let's. Good grief. Almost 200 votes on our what temperature do you keep your thermostat at.
Really?
I don't know what Pete's kryptonite is talking about. I don't know Tammy the robot, but that sounds intriguing to me. A sex ed field trip to the health park hospital with Tammy the robot?
Oh, my goodness.
Does it use models? I mean, I don't know what I'm saying. All right.
There was never mind.
Caller number 9. Famous sports games that are like known by a name.
Nickname. Yeah, okay.
Like the drive. I'll just throw it out there.
Yeah. Or the fumble.
Details from those games. That's what we're going to do here. 20 mo nice. Bucks on the line. So be caller number 9. Know a thing or two about football. I think most of you do. And we'll find ourselves a winner here. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Let's play Wikipedia. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter, shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
Here we go. Caller number 9 today is Dean in Port Charlotte. Dean, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Dean.
Good. How's it going, fellas?
Very right. good. Dean, how old are you?
49.
All right. What's your favorite right. NFL team?
The Giants.
Okay. All right. We're going to do sports plays through all sports, by the way. known famously by one name, and ask a detail about that game. First one to three correct answers is a winner. You get to go first. Dean, what future Hall of Famer led the Denver Broncos on a 15-play, 98-yard drive in the 1986 AFC Championship game?
That would be John Elway.
That is correct. Good start for you, 1-0. Pete Shepard, your first question. In the 1980 Winter Olympics, what U.S. hockey team beat the Soviet Union in a game now known as what?
Miracle on Ice, United States.
That is correct. We are tied at one. All right, back to Dean. Who caught the game-winning touchdown in the 1981 NFC Championship game on a play known as the catch?
That would be Dwight Clark.
That is correct. Man, we may go undefeated on this one. Pete Shepard, trying to keep up. The shot was one of the first memorable moments of Michael Jordan's NBA career when he hit a shot to beat what team in the 1989 Eastern Conference playoffs?
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
That is correct. 2-2 is the score right now. Dean, for the win, if you can get this. What team was on the losing end of the 2000 AFC divisional game known as the Music City Miracle?
That's going to be the Buffalo Bills.
Winner! Yeah. Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
Very good. Yay.
All right. Good job. That was easy. Nobody got any wrong answers at this point.
That's two in a row for me over Pete now. All right.
You know, well, some listeners, we've been doing this for a few years, and some listeners are keeping running tallies on their score over here. I like that.
I'm happy for you.
All right, Dean, have a good one, man. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
I appreciate that. All right, let's see if these questions get any more difficult.
There's one that I don't think Pete will get.
Okay. Next, on Thanksgiving night, 2012, Mark Sanchez made his most memorable play referred to as what?
Butt fumble.
That is correct. In Super Bowl 42, who made his only career reception in a play referred to as the helmet catch?
Ridiculous. David Tyree went to jail.
Did he?
Yeah, he did for a little bit.
Is that his only career catch?
Yeah.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Move on.
One catch?
Yeah, one catch. And it was spectacular. It was spectacular.
Roddy Harrison still doesn't know how it happened.
What was his problem? Yeah, that one great. Talk about one
shining
moment.
He was good enough.
It was a Hail Mary. He just threw it up there. It should have been sacked by Jarvis Green. It should have been called in the grasp anyway. But
okay.
Cut the ball.
Bonus question, not on the paper here. Who caught the first Hail Mary?
Drew Pearson.
Nailed good it. Job. I believe it was
against the Vikings.
Was it the 1971 NFC playoff game?
It was later than that. It was 74. Yeah.
Pete Shepard, what team was on the losing end of the kick six?
Oh, Alabama.
That is correct. The 1986 World Cup. Diego Maradona.
Maradona.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yep.
Diego Maradona hit the ball with his left hand in a play known as the Hand of God, which sent which country out of the competition?
Spain?
No. Is this the one you thought he missed?
Yeah, this was the one.
Oh.
We're looking for England.
I wish you asked me in 82 because Italy won the World Cup in 82 with Rossi, and that was phenomenal.
No, it sent England out. One of the many heartbreaking losses for England that knocked them out of World Cup. That's a team with some history. Go back, intrigue yourself, huh? Go back, do a little reading. Look at England in the World Cup and how they've been knocked out. It's phenomenal.
It is. It's heartbreaking.
It's crazy.
It's like the Dodgers recently in the last two.
No, this is going on for decades.
It's still going on.
Yeah. The Hand of God, did he deflect the ball?
No, so it was
saw it.
It was a ball that was coming down from the air above his head.
Yeah.
It looked like he shouldered it, landed on his shoulder and he settled it.
Yeah.
It looked like that from the referee's point of view, but it was actually his left hand.
Really?
And England,
Chris, he caught it? He just caught it?
No, I don't want to say he caught it, but he settled the ball with his hand and it dropped down to his feet and he ended up scoring a goal off of it.
How about the, was it like 12 years ago, Chris, the guy in France, the handball, knocked Ireland out of the World Cup. There was a qualifying match, right? I think Ireland had to win. France was a defending World Cup champions, I think, and then they played Ireland, and there was a clear hand in the box, and it cost Ireland a chance to go to the World Cup, if I remember correctly. I can't remember all the details, but...
239 says, David Tyree had over 50 catches in his career, the status quo.
Whatever,
yeah, he did.
Nerd.
He had a touchdown in that game, too, I think.
So he had two catches in that game that we know.
I don't think he had a touchdown in that game.
All right, so we got an incorrect stat. Did. All right, Pete, final question. This is easy. Game 3, 1951, National League Championship
Bobby
Series.
Thompson.
Bobby Thompson hit a walk-off three-run home
shot around
run.
The world. Shot heard around the world.
Yeah, that's the answer. Yep. All right, very good. Mm-hmm. Hot takes, Craig.
The Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. Remember?
Yeah, it wasn't as squeaky as that, but yeah, that's what he said. All right, hot take, 5 o'clock, hot take, Craig around the corner. More headlines of the day. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere on this Thursday. Rick Hoare will not be with us today. He's got flooding and cell phone tower problems because this whole state of Florida is getting just wet right now. In fact, we're going to be wet for the next several days on into the weekend. A lot of rain. Those retention ponds are going to be filled up in your yard. Anyway, enough about that. Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.